Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello, welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast from Wales Online, brought to you in association with Giovanni's. We're back, sorry for the delay, there was nothing for us to talk about, but there's plenty of Cardiff City games on the horizon.
Whoa, before you say that, what about the Welsh game? Well, people would be saying, well, what about the Welsh game?
Well, it's a Cardiff City podcast, but did you have a quick Wales take, Blakey, before we go into the Bluebirds topics?
I thought it was a really good performance all round. I thought Slovakia were decent without being great. First half, I thought Wales were brilliant. Second half, Slovakia came into it, changed one or two things. You would expect that from a top team. But Wales, you know, youngsters and all, dug in and got over the line, got the result. So, great start.
Good campaign. Start for Giggsy. Been a bit of pressure maybe last year after a few mixed results.
So. Yeah, I mean, there's a little inconsistency. He's kind of beaten the teams he's supposed to, and you know,
lost to the ones you'd expect them to lose.
But they had passed that, Wales. You know, if you look at the last European campaign, I think they took 4 points out of Belgium, who were ranked number one, if memory serves me correctly, or two in the world. So, you know, they have beaten teams that they're not supposed to beat all the way to get to the semi-finals, simple as that. So they're more than capable. But, yeah, good start. Can ask no more than a win.
And a strange, you brought me on to the first Cardiff City topic I was going to talk about. A strange 3-week break from action, Nathan. We filled it by going to a fancy awards dinner. We didn't win, but congratulations to Canberra and Life, who did win that award. We were proud to be nominated.
We didn't even get our name mentioned, which is the most disappointing thing.
I know.
What was that all about, Paul?
The dessert was nice, though, wasn't it?
Out of 23 categories, only one category, one name that didn't get announced over the tannoy. Just happens to be a former Welsh international with, you know, sports editor of the Wales' biggest newspaper. No, I think it was something like, I heard that someone said to me afterwards, because Dominic was leaving, that they didn't want to announce
it. Some listeners might not know that, Blakey. We might have broken their hearts by just mentioning that. Yeah, and I've got a couple more weeks to go, though, so
we're going to miss you, mate. We're going to miss
you. Don't press pause and delete the podcast just yet. Maybe do that in a few weeks' time.
Yeah.
Paul's shaking his head. Right. 3-week break, Nathan. Cardiff City. How did those players who weren't on international duty, how did they stay fresh? How will Cardiff continue their momentum, obviously having a fantastic win against West Ham before the break? It seems like an age ago.
Yeah, it does. It seems a very long time ago, doesn't it, since we've watched Premier League football, if you like.
Come back.
But they'll keep fit, Dom. I would have thought in the first week they probably had a few days off to go and spend with their families. And then the second week, you'll probably get a lot of work done that you need to do, preparation, especially for the first game, which is against Chelsea. So what they can do is be ill-prepared now for Chelsea. I expect them to go out against Chelsea. And listen, we know the difference in player quality, but if you've got 3 weeks to prepare, then you know you should be able to give Chelsea... I expect them to give Chelsea a really, really tough time. You know what I mean? Because you've had so much time to prepare. There's no excuses where, we've had a midweek game or we've only had like 4 days training, anything like that. You've had 3 weeks to prepare. So, you know, off the back of the West Ham result.
You always talk about having a plan.
This
is going to be a well-constructed one if you've had
3 weeks. You'll probably get rest, but you also make sure that fitness levels wouldn't drop. So your training will be geared, everything will be geared towards this coming Friday or Saturday, because the game's on Sunday. Everything will be geared towards this Friday, where everything by Friday should be just slowing down, ready for an easy or nothing Saturday, and then, you know, the biggie on Sunday. So, like I said, I expect everyone to be in good shape, well recovered, gives you a chance to recover from injuries and things like that, or stuff that you're carrying, because you do throughout the season. Like I always say, you never go on the pitch 100% fit. So
it's almost like that one last sort of stopping post, isn't it, before the home stretch?
Eight
games now Cardiff have got.
Yeah.
But Paul, I wonder if you think that Cardiff almost have to be a bit clever with these two games that are back to back, only 3 days between the Man City game, which comes on the Wednesday after the Sunday against Chelsea. Do Cardiff almost have to go for the Chelsea game in the probably expectation that they won't get anything against Man City?
Well, they've got to go for it, irrespective of whoever they're playing afterwards. There's only 8 games left now, aren't there? They're at home. They've only got 3 home games left. They've got to go for it in every one of those.
But is the Man City game a write-off, if you like?
No. No, Crystal Palace went to Man City. Didn't they beat them up there or something
they
like
did.
That?
They
did.
Yeah,
Blakey's favourite.
All logic says it is a write-off, Don. But, you know, Man City are chasing 4 trophies. I know they've got a massive squad. They've got players just coming back from international duty. They've got a big Champions League game coming up. They've got big...
A lot to focus on.
You know, a lot to focus on. And, you know, it's a possible, albeit an extremely unlikely banana skin. But I don't want to sound like a professional footballer here. Man City's not even in the barometer. It's not even in the ballpark. It's all about Chelsea, isn't it?
And, absolutely.
Let's see what happens after Chelsea. Deal with Man City and Man City team selection for the Bluebirds after that. I don't think Man City's even in the equation at this moment in time.
Well, one thing Cardiff haven't done this season is pick up any points against the so-called Big Six. Chelsea at home. Chelsea maybe slightly out of sorts of late.
Yeah, they've picked up 28 points, though.
They have. It'd be a hell of a help for their relegation. Well, absolutely. But it'd be a massive help for their survival hopes if they were to nick something against the Big Six team. And Chelsea, I think, represents probably the best chance to do that at home.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Chelsea on their day, let's be fair, they're
sensational players.
They should be challenging for the top three. They should be in the top three challenging for the trophy. The squad they've got, the players at their disposal, the young players they've got, the young players they've bought. So, you know, I think, you know, what's happened in the last 12 months is there's been this, you know, Man City have been huge, been almost unstoppable, but then Liverpool have come closely behind that. And I think Chelsea have become a bit of a forgotten team because of all that was happening at Manchester United. But make no bones about it, you know, don't be fooled. Chelsea can do what Man City can do to you, you know.
We've seen them step up, Chelsea, at times this season.
They are, they're temperamental. Temperamental team. And they seem to always have a temperamental season off the back of a great season. And this is their temperamental season. So, you know, I don't think... I can't look at the situation and say, oh, well, this has happened, so you can take advantage of that. This has happened, you can take advantage of that. I basically think you just got to go out. And like I said, if you prepared right and you've done your work right, then you'll know Jorginho, if you leave him and let him play, he can slice and dice you. But what you don't do, which is what I referred to on our last podcast, I think when Fulham played them, and it was inexperienced of Scotty Parker by not putting something on Jorginho, because they've shown that the way Sarri's team plays, that if you stop Jorginho, you stop a lot of supply into, you know, 80-90% of the players. So you're going to, on a ratio basis, you're going to concede a lot less opportunity. So
who's the man then to shut down Jorginho? Who's your Cardiff City man to do that job?
It depends how they play. You're going to have a striker who's going to drop in on him from time to time, or you put someone on him constantly. Personally, I put someone who's going to be, you know, on him constantly at home, need to win the game. I think we've all said, or I've said, probably the most skilled or attacking player in that position would be Camarasa. But can he do a defensive job for you? If I was to do a... want someone who's going to give me attack and be able to work back and defend, I would probably go with Reed in this game. I'd probably go with Bobby Reed in that advanced position behind the striker.
Do a bit more defensively, perhaps?
Well, I think he does a lot defensively. Yeah. I think he's brilliant defensively.
as well as in attack. But you know, Victor, then you're losing the ability to open up a game and maybe win it out of nothing. So they're problems for the manager to resolve.
Yeah, balancing active struck, absolutely. We're just going to change tack now slightly. On a breaking news story, obviously, Paul, quite serious. The Emiliano Sala transfer dispute has come in and out of the news in the past month or two. And I wanted to come to you because you've written a piece online for Wales Online today, explaining basically in full this dispute, which it seems to have sort of been clouded a little bit in some quarters. People maybe not in possession of all the facts, which thankfully you have been.
Well, I wouldn't say all the facts. I mean, this is
it's incredibly complex, isn't it?
It's complex, and top lawyers are involved in this, and so there's only a certain element that you can be aware of. But I know Cardiff are a little bit perturbed that some of their fans, and I can't put a percentage on this of what the fan base, that some of their fans feel they should just pay this money and, in inverted commas, you know, get it over and done with. But it's not as simple as that, because he, for a loophole involving the signing on fee, from what I'm told, to register with the Premier League, there are four criteria that need to happen to register the transfer, right? One is registering with the FAW, one is to register him with an international transfer certificate, which is a similar thing.
Yeah, the ITC have been sent, though,
but it's linked in. Then you've got to register with the Premier League, and part of that involves personal terms. And there was a complication over the personal terms which rendered him ineligible to play in the Premier League. There's also some confusion over the ITC, Blakey, about whether it was actually registered in time, because there's some suggestion.
Can I ask a question?
Nantes only got confirmation on the 25th.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Had the tragic accident never took place, do you think he would have played for Cardiff on the Saturday?
Well, the next game was the following Tuesday. So the next game we're talking about. I'd like to think that they would have sorted out those issues on the personal terms, which would have meant he would have been registered as a Cardiff City player.
I don't like this.
It would have been disappointing if it's not. But by the same token, Blakey, football...
No, come on, Paul.
We're not
talking about them. We've got to focus on us. And I always say, to me, from the outside looking in, I can see the whole picture. I don't know the intricacies of it, but the fact that we're using terminology like loophole, I think it almost like, you look at Emilio then and you're thinking, right, you know, is what's more important, life or money? Yeah? And I would say, I don't know all the intricacies, but from the outside looking in, and I've read a lot and I've seen a lot, you know, this seems to be, Cardiff have seemed to go from, this is our player, celebration, to, actually, no, he's not our player. Mm. It was, I'm gonna find reason for him not to be our player, so we can not pay the money. And I think from a Cardiff fan perspective, it just, and I can't speak for everybody, but when I speak to a lot of people who are Cardiff fans, and I speak to friends of mine, it just leaves a real bitter taste in the mouth for me.
I think what's happened here, and Dom and I are aware of this because we've both heard it from the same individual at the club, but they lost 3-0 at Newcastle. They were abject. And to give cheer to the fans, they fast-tracked the announcement forward 48 hours to that Saturday night within 2 hours of that awful game at St James's
Which is
Park.
Not unusual for clubs to do. It's a PR
But they did emphasise in the first sentence, subject to clearance from the authorities, blah, blah, blah.
Which is always said.
So that's their get-out. But it seems that bringing it forward 48 hours is something that's caused real complications for them.
Mm. Because, the tragic thing because, is there's no precedent.
Because
though,
you're right, he was announced as a Cardiff City player 48 hours earlier than was expected, Dom. It's fair to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
But there's no precedent for this, is there? Because of the tragic circumstances surrounding what
happened.
There
are technical.
It just doesn't feel... It's horrible.
And it doesn't feel right then, does it? That the tie-up between the agents and Nantes, the fact that he was put on this plane...
Come on, mate. We all looking at this. We all got our opinions, but we can see it's pretty straightforward to me.
If you were to push me on this, I think a compromise would eventually be struck between the two clubs. Again, I can't put up. I don't think Cardiff will pay the entire sum of money.
I think FIFA will make them.
Do you?
Yeah, I think I honestly do. I don't think you want this to keep
dragging
actually,
on.
One, I don't want it to drag on because I don't think it's fair on anybody. I don't think it's especially the Emilio's family, but two, it's, you know, it's you look at it and you think, well, there's so much more to it that people aren't saying, whether they're a fear of being prosecuted or being dragged, but we all can see and we all know what's going on. And it's a scandalous situation, you know, because at the end of the day, what I think football suffers with, and I look at a lot of youngsters and what have you, and things have happened historically, is a duty of care. You know, you are literally a commodity. You are literally, you know, just a piece of meat. You know, you are literally a this is an opportunity to show proper a duty of care. And not just to Emilio, but to his family. I mean, so to me, for me, if there is complications, there's no need to play them in the press. They should be short, swift. Okay, that was a mistake. Actually, it wasn't registered, but actually, we're still gonna non what we done. Blah 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 blah. Premier League non, Cardiff City sort that situation out. Yeah, it wasn't actually registered, so we weren't eligible to pay the fee. But here's a contribution towards that situation. But it just, like I keep saying, it just keeps, it just makes me feel like money over everything, innit?
And it's the elephant in the room, isn't it? Because when your average football fan thinks about Cardiff City at the moment or reads about Cardiff City, it's probably going to be in those terms. And as people who like the club, who follow the club, who want the club to do well, in this room, three of us, that's not good for us, is it? We want Cardiff City to be seen in a positive light.
All fans, male, female, you know, most of the fans got children. Now, their children, they hope maybe one day comes on to be a professional footballer. If you were in this situation, as a family person, what would you expect of both clubs? Both clubs, managers, agents, the lot. What would you expect? A bit of integrity, a bit of honesty, a bit of truth. Do your duty, move on, and then have some sort of, I would say, some sort of memorial or something towards Emilio or whatever, so people know, right, it's not something you just think about today and gone tomorrow. It's going to be, you know, linked with the club forever and a day. But, you know, that's just me.
That echoes words completely. Paul, what's going to be the next thing that happens then? What
I think it will drag on. I mean, Cardiff will present their case to FIFA on April the 3rd or by April the 3rd. Cardiff feel, for good or for bad, for right or for wrong, that they have a watertight legal case on this. And I just think it'll bounce between lawyers for the time being. I think ultimately there will be a compromise of some sort. Maybe Cardiff will pay half the fee, not more, write off the rest. Both parties will put in $1 million to an Emiliano Sala trust fund, for example, for the family, that sort of thing. But I just think there are so many complications. Is it French law? Is it English law? Why was he on that plane with a pilot who supposedly wasn't qualified to fly him?
Couldn't speak English. Spanish or French.
How do the insurers look at this? Are we talking about Cardiff's insurance? Are we talking about Nantes insurers? Are we talking about the plane's public liability insurers? Is that insurance invalid? Because, you know, all that sort of stuff. mm-hmm. is what complicates this. But can we move on from
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, let's hope as positive a resolution as possible can be brought to it, as sad as the whole thing is. Right, let's have a short break and let's talk more positive subjects. Let's talk football.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
So, Blakey, questions for you. We're going to have a question for all of us, actually, at the end of this section.
Man? Oh,
we're
going to some questions.
There's questions for all of us at the end of the section, which will.
I want to hear him answer.
Test how.
Can we give him? Can we ask the same question to Paul first, and then I'll answer after? So okay. We'll see what Paul.
They're asking. They're yeah, asking I know, but I want. You're the legend. They're asking for you.
I know that, Paul.
Go on, who's it from? I'll answer it very briefly.
Well, you might be in a position to answer. James Davis.
All right, James.
He just says simply, Jazz Richards, what, where, how and why? Arguably the best fullback at the club on his day. Can you explain to James?
James is Paul, not Blakey. Apologies, Blakey's insisted I answer this, but he will give you a full answer afterwards. Good questions. I have no idea, other than I've never felt Neil Warnock particularly rates him as a right back for whatever reason. He's obviously been beset by injury problems. I do think that when I have seen Jazz, he has looked suspect defensively now and again. And maybe that forms part of Neil Warnock's thought process. But over to you, Blakey.
We all quite like Jazz, to be fair,
yes,
don't we?
We
were all fans of his style.
Yeah, absolutely. Injuries?
Yeah, he's definitely had a major hamstring problems this season.
Right. Which, if you injured, you obviously can't play. But I would say, you know, when you're having hamstring problems like that, it's usually something to do with, you know, your back, the other side of your back, maybe your car, something like that. It's usually quite an easy issue to resolve. So whatever the reason, I don't understand why he's been injured so long. And let's be fair, he was injured a lot before.
Oh, yeah.
Because wasn't it Paul Trollope time. Signed him after the Euros? Yeah, and what has he played? Yeah, I don't think he's played 10 games for Cardiff City.
No, he's barely played
in 2.5 years.
I've seen him play occasionally for the under-23s, and I've been told that he's making a comeback towards first-team action.
Mm.
Played a couple of times, I think, around the time of the new year.
Mm.
And then we didn't see him again, and I was told that he was, again, unavailable for selection.
Yeah.
I don't know what that suggests, Blakey. Is that just struggling to get fully match fit?
I know, but like James has asked the question, but none of us know. You know, it's like all we ever hear is, oh, he's injured. And like, you know, it's the same, not the same always, but the same injury seems to reoccur a lot. Yeah. And always muscle injuries, they seem to be. It's never like, oh, you know, cruciate or, you know, something snapped or gone or Achilles. It seems to be the same sort of muscle injuries all the time. So, listen, he might just be an unfortunate lad who's just picking up injury after injury, because sometimes that happens. I've said that before on the podcast. You know, you overcompensate on one thing, which leads to when you get back, you start running slightly differently, something else goes, and then something else goes, and all of a sudden you're on that merry-go-round of injuries. But, you know, for the quality of player he is, I mean, what Jazz needs to be careful of is that doesn't become what people label him as, injury-prone.
Mm.
Because it's very difficult to earn good money as a footballer and play at top level if you get labelled as someone who's always injury prone, who's always going to pick up. How old is he now? 24?
I think he's older than that.
Mid-20s.
I think he's 26, 27.
Yeah, so let's say mid-20s. You know, he probably hasn't played 100 league games yet.
24 to 27 is mid-20s, Tom, so.
He's 27, so he's getting on now, this is his peak, so he's at
27 then. I was still thinking he's 24, look at that.
Yeah, you're at your peak, aren't you?
So 27 to 30 are you're really, you know, top years. So, you know, what he needs to think is, and it, you can't help injury, so it's not Jazz's fault. What I would say is, if there is reoccurring injuries, instead of, like me, instead of accepting from what the physios are telling me, blah, 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 I would say to Jazz, right, just get out of here and go and get a second opinion. And with the physios backing, just go and see if there's something that they've missed. That, because I remember being at Blackburn and kept getting injured, right? And was up there, had all the MRI scans and everything, came down, seen John Fairclough. The first thing John said to me was, I've had an x-ray. And it was almost like an x-ray was too simple. They had gone for all the MRI and these different scans. I said, no, I had an x-ray, CT scan. He said, there's your problem straight away. We literally 10 minutes for a problem on my shin, which for 8 months had caused me a major problem.
Right.
So it was literally that quick, you know. So,
but when fully fit, Jazz Richards, what are we talking here? Carter's best right.
Well, he when fully fit, he's almost ideal for what we were saying Cardiff needed.
Yeah.
Early on in the season in this league, you need that attacking, quick, you know, ball playing set right back, but. It's been so long since I've seen him in a competitive game over a period of, say, 5, 6, 7 games. I wouldn't know where he is at the moment.
Well, I was speaking to Joe Bennett yesterday, and he said, he said, interview coming on Wales Online soon, he said that he felt his defensive side of the game when he first came to the club, when Neil Warnock was first appointed, was suspect, and he feels that he's definitely improved that side of the game.
Mm.
Bennett's probably been able to do that because he's been in the team pretty much every week since he arrived, hasn't he? Or since Warnock arrived.
Yeah.
And Warnock's probably helped that on, Kevin Blackwell's probably helped that on, but Jazz hasn't had the chance to build up a run of games to improve an element of his game, or for an element of game to be highlighted.
Yeah, your form improves just by playing, because unless you don't often get footballers who are a bit thick. You need game intelligence. So you understand simply by playing, not always, or not just coaching, but playing as well. You realise, well, that led to me making a mistake for a goal, or, you know, an opportunity, or I got too tight there. I know what to do next time when I against a player of that sort of ilk. So you learn on the job as well as you go along. But at 27, you know, time is starting to tick.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on what happens to Jazz.
How long? Could you tell me when his contract is up?
I believe it might be up at the end of the season. Oh. So in which case, you know, how much longer will we see him in a Cardiff shirt? Even if he manages to agree another deal, he may look for a loan or some more football elsewhere.
Well, he's going to have to get playing, really and truly. But I'd be surprised if Cardiff gave him another contract, because he probably had what, a 3 or 4 year deal, and you know that's how ruthless football is. I'm not telling you what I would do, because I haven't seen the insides. He might just be incredibly unlucky, but how football is, it's ruthless. You're not played, you're not been on trial, not been in the shop window, as they like to call it. So I can see, even if a new manager came in next season, let's say, the first thing you'd do is, right, look at your stats, how many games you played in the last 2 or 3 years. You know, this is why I say due diligence and turning every stone by blah, blah, blah. Someone like Jazz, well, you'd be saying, well, I'm paying him that much money and getting this getting out, game of out of him. Yeah, it's like, you know, I can go and get six or seven out of ten every week, and I know I could play him probably a quarter or half, and I've got a guaranteed player.
Yeah. Excellent point. Paul, you've got a list of Cardiff's remaining 8 fixtures, I believe, in front of you. Now, we've been asked by some listeners over the past couple of weeks for us to predict what points they'll get from these fixtures, and therefore what points tally Cardiff will finish with. So this is our challenge for the end of Ask Blakey this week. So, Paul, can you read out Cardiff's remaining fixtures, please?
Do you want them one at a time, or...?
Yeah, please. Read them out, and we'll say how many points, and I'll tally up, and we'll see what we all predict.
Chelsea at home.
Blakey?
Nil point.
Yeah, nothing for me. Paul?
1-2 defeat for me.
Okay, so that's nothing for all of us.
Man City away.
Nil point.
Yeah, I can't say any points there. Nothing from Paul?
No. Burnley away.
Nil point. I'm joking. Easy tiger. That's a ding dong. I'm going to go with draw. 1-1.
3 points. Nick a 1-0. Paul?
I'm going to Cardiff win for that one.
Oh.
You're always going to get greedy.
There we go. Next one.
Brighton away.
I think that's the kind of fixture that Cardiff can win. So right. I'd go, I go 1-0
away. You win. 3 points.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a draw. I think Brighton are decent at home, but Cardiff won't lose it.
I'm going 0-0.
Okay. So we've all said the same amount of points so far.
Yeah, but for different fixtures.
Yeah, for different fixtures. Carry on.
Liverpool at home.
Nil point.
Here he is. Here's the ball prediction.
Exactly. He's sitting up like that for him, isn't he?
Adjusts himself in the seat.
Cardiff are going to win that game. Liverpool are going to start cracking by that point under the pressure, the immense pressure from their fans to win the first Premier League in about 3 decades. Cardiff are going to win that at a rocking Cardiff City Stadium. Cardiff win.
Wow. I'm stunned.
Be optimistic.
I know. It's the sunshine over there. Next game.
Fulham away.
This is like a banana skin. I'm going to go 2-1 win.
A win?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll win, but I think there's a bit of doubt here. I think I'm tempted to say draw. Yeah, I'm going to say a draw because I think that's probably Fulham's, the only game Fulham will expect to win of their remaining games. So I'm going to say a draw.
I don't think they'll win anything.
I'm going. Cardiff got a good record at Craven Cottage, haven't they?
Yeah.
Decent,
I'm going 2-1 Cardiff or 2-2. I'm going 2-1 Cardiff with the heart.
Next one.
Palace at home.
Blakey likes predicting Palace's matches.
Palace at Cardiff City Stadium, yeah? I hate Palace, man. They're just a dull. It's like, 2-0 win.
To City?
Yeah. I don't sound so surprised.
Yeah, I think that's a win. I think that's a good 2-1.
Draw.
Draw for Paul. And then where do we finish the season, Paul?
Right, I'll tell you where we finish the season. Right, where Blakey and I finish the season is against Manchester United away at Old Trafford. For people who don't know, I can announce that Dominic is leaving Wales Online, stroke the boot room, after the Burnley game to become Manchester United correspondent on the Manchester Evening News.
Yeah, me.
So Dominic will be watching that game from the press box, reporting from on a Manchester United perspective. Surely, Dom, surely.
You can't put me on the spot.
Surely the heart is going to be tugging for Cardiff as well. Surely.
Well, obviously, it'd be great if Cardiff could stay up. Hopefully. I'll wrap it up before that game.
So you've got a choice now.
You've got a choice now.
Let's put Dominic on the spot, please, yes, right? Paul. He's got a choice of Cardiff to win to stay up or Man United to win to get into the Champions League. What does Dominic choose?
Oh, mate, hold on a minute.
That is a great question.
That's not. Oh, that's Tony the Tiger. Great question. Shoot.
What's the question?
You heard the question. That's because he feels like he's surrounded by 10 of us now. He's been beaten up, he's dizzy. Right, so.
Thanks for listening to Blinky's
United need a win to go into the Champions League. City need a win to stay up. Who do you want?
For this, I'm a Manchester United fan from being a young age, so that's massively tugs on my heartstrings, unfortunately.
We paid your wages for the last couple of years, mate. You got a commitment.
So you want Neil Warnock to go down in those situations, having built this wonderful working rapport with him.
He's going to be listening.
You want Sol Bamba, who you love. Joe Bennett, who you said you were with yesterday. You want to go into the championship, do you?
So when he was at the end of the season, doing all the players, on the dance floor dropping foot with Saul last year. All that was out the window now.
Saul, I can only apologise.
We put you in a pickle. We will move on without him having to answer the question. It's an unfair question. But we do wish Dom the best, Blakey.
We wish him the absolute best.
In the Champions League next year, but hopefully with Cardiff up as well.
Yeah, I'm sure the podcast will go from strength to strength without me as well.
So,
I'm putting us all what we all say for this final game. So at the moment, Blakey says that Cardiff are going to get...
I think Man United will win that game.
Yeah, okay.
I'll go United win.
I will be very diplomatic and say a draw in that final game. Cardiff will nick a draw. So that says to me that Paul predicts Cardiff are going to get 11 points from now, which end upon 30...
40. No, 39.
39.
I'm not convinced 39 will be enough, by.
I
think it will. I'm saying
you're going to need a lot of points to finish in that last position this season.
I'm saying they're going to pick up 9 points.
So you think that they'll be on
37?
Yeah.
And Blakey says they're going to pick up 10 points. 38.
I think that'll be the cutoff. I think it'll be around 37, 38, and I think goal difference will come into it.
Well, the goal difference ain't great for Cardiff.
It's not as battered.
That would be the worst case scenario if Cardiff
go down on goal difference.
What helps Cardiff is Burnley's final four games, which I think are against Everton away is their last one, but the other three are against, I think, top four teams.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to that fixture at Turf Moor.
Burnley have shown though they can pull out those results against the Man Cities and the Man Uniteds and the Liverpools and
especially
in the last 3 or 4 years they've beaten them all at Burnley. So you know, and when you fighting for your life, Everton got nothing to play for, right? Simple as that. So you know,
it very much depends what those other teams are playing for. That
it's a good thing that they're playing the top four, not in the sense that you know. Or you can get a result, but those top four teams are going to have to be going at it as well. Burnley are going to have to be going at it as well. And you're hoping like energies, you know, diminish towards the end of the season more and more, and hopefully because they started earlier than everybody, so they will naturally come to an end before everybody.
Yeah.
If you understand what I mean, those final four or five games will feel like, you know. Climbing
the
sugarloaf, man.
Yeah. Well, Tom, given that Burnley is your Wales Online / Cardiff City swan song in terms of covering,
that's the most important one that they win to me.
Let's hope you leave on a real high.
That'll be a big win if they get that at Turf Moor, wouldn't it?
But Fingers, sure I'm blaming you then.
I can only apologise.
Make sure we get the laptop and the phone back.
That's all Paul cares about. He doesn't care about me. He just cares about getting my laptop back. Thanks for 3 years.
And the shirt off your back.
See you later.
As well.
Yeah.
I leave you a brief in the drawer too.
Right, let's put Blakey under some pressure before we finish for the week. Footy 5 predictions, Blakey. 5 Premier League games for you to predict this week. Remember, you can obviously play this game at home. Just search Footy 5. There'll also be a link on the article to this podcast on Wales Online. So, 5 games for you, Nathan. Crystal Palace are involved. But we'll start with Brighton against Southampton.
Cool, Blakey. It does seem an eternity since Premier League football was.
It seems ages, Paul.
You know, I'm trying to think of what the former Brighton
Brighton, didn't they win their last game with knockout? Beat Palace, scoring that worldie on that. It might have been a game after that, see. So, Brighton against
Southampton,
which is a big game potentially for Cardiff.
Brighton, Southampton. At Brighton, I'm going to go 2-2 draw.
2-2, very interesting. Burnley against Wolves.
Come on, Wolves.
We need a Wolves win here, don't we?
Golden Blacks, man. They had to stop. I'm going to go with my old team. Yes. Do us a major favour.
Yes, Blakey.
I'm going to go... I'm going to go 3-1.
Yes,
3-1 Wolves. That'd be big.
Make it 9-1 and goal difference. 19-1.
Palace against Huddersfield. I believe Huddersfield can be officially relegated this week.
I think Palace win that one.
Yeah.
At home. This is a banger. They'll win it. It'll be tight. It'll be 2-0, I say.
2-0.
Mm.
Leicester against Bournemouth, pretty mid-table affair.
Nothing
this
game. Leicester Bournemouth should be a good game though. Bournemouth got a few players back. I'm going to go Leicester Bournemouth. Bournemouth had a really bad run, picked up a good result recently. I'm going to go Bournemouth back on track. I'm going to go Bournemouth 3-2. Bit of a thriller in Manila.
Nice one. And we finish with Man United against Watford.
Come on, Watford. Man U, Watford at home. Watford, good team, but they seem to struggle when they go against the top boys. So I'll go United win. 3-0.
3-0 United.
Do you know the great thing as you look at that is certainly those first three games, you suddenly realise we've had this break, but now the business end really kicks in of this season. And I'm looking at those first three games, Brighton, Southampton, Burnley, Wolves. You know, you want certain results to benefit Cardiff. It'd be brilliant if Huddersfield could win at Selhurst Park to drag Palace. You know, you're suddenly looking at everything now with extra resonance. It's not just about Cardiff's results. Much better that than be Leicester or Bournemouth ensconced in mid-table.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I take it, though. Maybe
next season.
Twice on
Sunday. Anyway, what about Cardiff then?
Well, Cardiff against Chelsea and Man City. So we all said that they wouldn't pick up any points in these two games. So let's just have Chelsea score predictions we'll finish with. We'll be back on the Thursday after the Man City game to review what happened there. But score predictions for the Chelsea game, which is on Super Sunday, Sky Football, I think.
Cardiff have needed this break, bizarrely, because they had so many walking wounded, Camaras, Arta, Bennett, a few others after the West Ham game. They almost needed to recuperate and come back firing now for this game onwards. And that's really to Cardiff's benefit, whereas Chelsea have a lot of players on international duty all over the world, and that could play into Cardiff's hands. But then, by the same token, I'm fearful that after what seems, 22 days, more than 3 weeks, there's an element of rustiness going to
I remember playing, and as much as you come back tired from international duty, because usually it was come back on a Thursday, play on a Saturday, but you've got quite a break until the game, haven't you, on Sunday. So those players have had plenty of time to recuperate. And it's different now. Players can play, there's so much science into their diets and everything, they can play once a week, no problem. I would prefer to be on international duty, playing, and then coming back a couple of days, chilling, and then back into it, Premier League. So I think my worry is that they'll be a lot sharper than we were, and someone like Hazard, who's unplayable on his day, Pedro, another player, Willian. You know, if these players are firing, then it could be a real difficult afternoon for Cardiff. And, you know, let's go with the fact that they've been on international duty, that are a bit weary and a bit leggy at this stage of the season, and Cardiff have recuperated, as you say. And because no matter what, even if they hadn't been in international break, Cardiff energy levels are going to have to be high now to the end of the season. They're going to have to. You know, that 3 week break was almost like the calm before the storm. So I hope the preparation was good, proper, because this last eight games, this run in now, you're just going to need everyone at it 100%.
Yeah, I think we might see some strange results this weekend because of that break in action. You always get slightly funny results. Some teams on form, some not.
There's been some criticism from Welsh fans of the atmosphere at the ground against Slovakia, which I think is a little bit unfair. I thought it was a very good atmosphere.
It was brilliant.
But let me guarantee you that this weekend it will be rip-roaring inside Cardiff City Stadium. The fans will be right behind their team again. And I think that will raise the Cardiff players to a certain level of excellence. But I just fear that Hazard is too good. That's my worry. There's no slight on Cardiff there. He's the best player in the Premier League for me.
Listen, there's not a player in our squad on their day who, if we say, have their best day, can match or get close to Edin on his best day.
Nah, but barely playing in the league.
He can have an average day and do 4-5 unbelievable things that will win you a game.
Yeah.
Hands down.
I just got a horrible feeling for. I think it'd be tighter than we think, but I got a horrible feeling for.
Well, I would say if, as long as you don't get pumped, 4-5.
Yeah.
If it's 2-1, 1-0, 1-1 would be great. If it's a result like that where you're within touching distance and fans go home, you know, buzzed and we lost, but we, you know, hell of a game, we give it a good go and blah, blah, blah. I think those are victories and they're moral victories. You understand what I mean, Paul?
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you then Man City, similar sort of scenario, what you don't want is to get destroyed by anybody.
Two droppings,
yeah. Although Man City, we know, can destroy you.
Yeah.
So if they did, it's kind of one that you would just
park it.
Yeah, park it.
You don't want to get beaten at home heavily by Chelsea, I don't think. I think, you know, I'm with Paul, I think maybe a 2-1 or 2-0 Chelsea maybe. But I don't think Cardiff want to get hammered at home.
No, the goal difference is already terrible. Yeah, so that would be, in my thinking, as well as the game itself, is, you know, if we do get to the point where we're on 75 minutes and it's 1-0, what do I do? Do I open up and go for it and end up losing 3 or 4 because these teams in the last 10 minutes, they're on it?
Yeah.
Or do I say, just keep the same and just hope we nick a set piece or something? And I would go with a more conservative approach.
Okay, so sort of 2-1, 2-0?
Yeah, maybe? Just keep that score line down, because I'm not sure what Burnley's goal difference is, but I think it's a lot better than ours.
Yeah, they lose a lot of games now, right? Don't they?
We are going to have to, you know, last 8 games almost go with conceding like 4 or 5 goals and hope Burnley had a 3 here, a 4 there, a 5 there sort of thing.
Well, still possible, still very much possible. Thank you both for your contributions today, then.
Thank you for your contribution in life, Dominic.
Thank you very much. We'll be back a little later next week on the Thursday after the Man City game on the Wednesday. Our podcast is also available for you on Spotify, Acast and iTunes, as well as Wales Online, of course. And then from the three of us, I think that's all for this week. We'll be back very, very soon. Cheers.
Nice.